Good afternoon. I'm Dave Callender. Welcome into another edition of Ask the Experts. On my show today, we've got Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages back with us. Welcome back.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
And I'm sure it's going to be another lively show today from the discussion before the show, so you want to keep your radio here for the next hour as this week, oh dear, the banks again. This week, we're going to tie together the latest news on what the major banks, the Bank of Canada, and the Ministry of Finance are thinking in terms of the mortgage market and what should or should not be done to manage it. There seems to be a discrepancy between the two government institutions and the banks at this point in time, and that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to let the two of you begin the discussion on this topic, and throughout the show, if you do have questions for Kevin or Ann, we believe the lines are open. We had a little technical glitch this morning, but you can call us at 519-570-2545, out of town 1-800-570-5715, or hands-free on your cell phone at *570. So what's going on that has you riled up?
Oh, it's got the Irish eyes smiling again today, Dave, and I guess kind of going back to the announcement earlier this week in terms of changes to the mortgage format and CMHC in terms of their insurance programs in as it relates to rental properties. And I certainly understand the philosophy behind that. People are into home ownership for two reasons. And one is for a place to live and a place to call home, but also for investment. And I certainly understand the concept of tightening up the rental and investment property programs where you could buy a property or rental property with as little as 5% down. Certainly the insurance premiums charged by CMHC to insure those types of mortgages were a lot more costly to the consumer than it would be for an owner-occupied property. So basically they've totally eliminated that program. Personally, we've never done an awful lot of investment properties in our office with the 5% down. My own personal opinion was, while it was there as a program, I don't think from an investment point of view, when you looked at the cost of securing a rental property, that it really made a tremendous amount of sense to do it. So they've eliminated that program, and unless you currently, or I guess as of April 19th, have 20% down payment, you are not going to qualify to get a mortgage insured through CMHC. That's your new policy, no longer 5% down, no longer 10, 15. It's got to be 20% down. And a number of financial institutions will actually finance a property with 25% down. So for that difference, if you got to put 20% down to buy it, you may as well make the extra efforts, come up with the additional 5% down and avoid CMHC costs altogether. And you're only doing single underwriting then with the lender whoever's going to fund it, as opposed to having it underwritten using CMHC guidelines as well.
Well, Kevin, as usual, you've run out of the gate well ahead of the bell.
Blah, 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 blah.
And I think we need to start at the beginning, where for the second time in about a year and a half, the mortgage lending rules have been tightened by Ottawa, and at this time at the behest of the large banks. And I had to ask myself, why? Why are the banks asking for this tightening of the lending rules? Because in my mind, it has been perfectly clear as we've gone through this recession that we do not have the subprime market that U.S. has. We do not have the lending practices that the U.S. has. And we do not have the culture surrounding home ownership that the U.S. has. Someone that I worked with when I was with IMBA said to me, she was an American from Louisiana, and she said, you know, when my dad died a couple of years ago, I went down and he died the way he wanted. Owing two mortgage payments on his home. He had a 40-year mortgage, and he never wanted it paid off. And he let the house get run down. In the Americans' eyes, their home is an investment. It's not their home, and they get a tax write-off for the mortgage payments that they make. So for them, they look at home ownership in a completely different way. Yes, it's their home, but ultimately it's an investment that allows them a tax write-off so they pay lower taxes. And they don't ever want to get that home paid off because it is providing a yearly tax write-off. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole different way of thinking and looking at home ownership in the U.S. And what created this bubble was aggressive marketing on the part of lenders in the subprime market, saying to people, listen, we're going to give you a hugely discounted rate of 1% or 2% for 2 years. But in 2 years, your house will have increased so much in equity that you can then sell it, pull out. Now you've got some money because you've sold it for a lot more than what you paid for it. You've been able to carry it because your interest rate is at 1% or 2%. Well, the fallacy behind this is that the economic community bought up these things in ABCs, these cans of attractive nuts with garbage inside, and the whole thing collapsed. And what they had now were a lot of people who could not afford to pay their new mortgage rate, which was now coming in several percents higher, 5, 6, 7, 8% higher, when they could barely afford the 1% or 2% gifted rate. We don't do that here in Canada. You pay a rate for the full term, 5-year term. We don't discount that rate for a short period of time and then make you pay a much higher rate later on. You are qualified on that whole rate, and they were being qualified on that very low rate and had no chance of ever. And then the housing market crashes, and now these houses that were supposed to be worth a lot more at the end of 2 years were worth substantially less than what they paid for it. So they want out, like any human being, they want out of something that they can't afford anymore because the payments have doubled or tripled, and it's not worth what they paid for it. So of course they want out, and at the same time, they're losing their jobs or threatening to be losing their jobs. That wasn't how it went in Canada. Our subprime market was less than 5%. Their subprime market was 30% plus, and it also hurt other homes. So many are going into bankruptcy and into the States and foreclosure. But that's not what happened in Canada. And yet, it seems our government is treating us Canadians who have nothing to do with Americans and the American market or the American culture as if we were. So I ask myself, why? Why are they doing that? I don't understand it.
Well, we'll look into why more in just a few minutes. We do have to take a short break. I think that the main reason probably has a dollar sign in front of it, but we'll find out for sure. So stick around for that. And when we come back, we'll take a phone call as well. So stick around. More of Ask the Experts coming up with Kevin Power and Ann Turner of Power Mortgages. Online at powermortgages.ca, and you can give them a call at 519-886-1993. Ask the Experts returns in just a few minutes here on 570 News. Back to the show. I'm Dave Callender. My guests, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages, 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo, and online at powermortgages.ca. And just before we get to Kevin's rate specials, because I know he's itching to get them on, let's go over to the phone. Steve has been waiting patiently. Hi there, Steve. You're on 570 News. Good. How are you?
Not bad. I just wanted to call because I don't often agree with anybody, but I was listening to your other expert there, and she was right on the ball because yeah, you know, it blows me away. The banks and our government are treating us like the Americans, which I don't know why, because, to be honest, we're insurance to death in this country. You know, I couldn't have got my first home unless it was for CMHC. You know, and now I could probably qualify to not use it. But, you know, we're protected on that end. The government, the banks are protected. You know, on top of that, these days I've even heard of having to take out a secondary life insurance policy, you know, to cover anything like that. Like, I think I'm overinsured to the point where if I died right now, you know, my family would have that much more money plus, you know, what it would cover to pay out the debt, and that makes more sense. But, you know, in the United States, you could literally drive a car without life insurance, without car insurance even. And, I mean, that's insane. You know, so for I'm agreeing on the fact that, you know, in Canada, why should we be being penalized, you know, if we want to buy a house even with nothing down, you know, if you have to qualify with insurance or CMHC? You know, so really, what makes me more nervous than ever is if all of a sudden the bubble's going to pop and they're going to go, okay, it's going to be 10 or 12 or 18% interest. You know, the banks better be ready for all these mortgages coming back because, you know, there's lots of people out there I was talking with Gary Doyle the other day on the radio, and I said, you know, the banks allow you to borrow 40% of your net income to buy a house. And on top of that, you got kids that are costing us 20 to 30% of our income. Then you got a car loan, and you got interest, and you got everything else. I worked it out one time to over 300% before I even took anything home, you know, to eat. You know, so how are people even doing it? You know, you almost have to sit down with a financial advisor and say, okay, where's the extra? You know, by the time you're finished paying for everything, you know, you're way above your 100%.
Do you know, Steve, there are ratios in place, TDS and GDS, total debt service ratio and gross debt service ratio, that are in place before you're approved for a mortgage. But after you've got that mortgage, man, you can pretty much do anything you want. And do you know where you want to do it? On your credit cards and consumer loans, where the interest rates are several points above prime on consumer loans and 18 to 28 or 9% on credit card debt. That's where I believe the banks want to send you, into that high interest debt where they make a ton of money, as opposed to mortgage debt where they're making 1% or less profit on a mortgage loan, as opposed to the many, many, many percents of profits that they are on the consumer loan debt and the revolving credit debt. And the other thing I do want to point out is that if any lender tells you that you must buy life insurance to secure your mortgage loan, you do not have to. That is not a law. That is not a requirement.
Or they suggest it.
Strongly suggested. By strong,
yeah.
I mean in a lot of cases.
And we have a cousin that actually sells the policies.
Yes, and it is not required. You may already have some life insurance on of your own, or you may not have any, but you do not have to buy life insurance. And I know that it has been put in such a way, we hear about it all the time, that they had to buy this life insurance in order to qualify for their mortgage, when in fact all they have to do is qualify for the mortgage, and then if it's high ratio, they must get mortgage insurance, mortgage default insurance through CMHC or Genworth.
Okay.
Well, what blows me away with banks, now I'm not talking about mortgage lenders, I'm talking about banks now, is I have a friend that was a college student, and before he graduated, they gave him a credit card, which I think, to be honest, for a college student that's not even working, is stupid.
They give them that credit card the day they start college.
But here you go, sign your life away. Yeah. And then on top of that, they give him a car loan. On top of that, he wasn't even graduated, and he was into a home with a mortgage because he had already qualified for a job that he was going into. And, I mean, he was only 5 years out of college, and he was already using a line of credit.
Absolutely. The lending practices of the banks with consumer loans and revolving credit just absolutely astound me, and they have no business doing what they're doing. And in my own family, someone who had an income of just slightly over $800 a month and had for all of her life was in fact given a credit card for $22,000, and then when she couldn't make those payments, gave her a line of credit for $11,000 to help her make her credit card payments. So, and she had no means of paying that, and they knew it.
Steve, thank you so much for your phone call today and for agreeing with my guests. It's always great when you agree with them. And it is such an interesting point that the credit card debt does seem to be completely out of control. We were just talking about that last week on one of the shows. And your point, Anne, that the reason that we're being treated like Americans is trying to push us towards these other products. I hadn't thought of that. But is there any other reason why our mortgage industry in Canada is starting to, you know, treat us more and more like Americans? Because if I'm going to be American, I want free shipping from Amazon.com. I want them to send all that stuff up to Canada if I'm going to be considered an American anyway. But are there any other reasons why we're being treated like our neighbors to the south?
Well, Bank of Canada, Flaherty, has said that he's doing it preemptively to, let me find out where my quote is on to them. He says, there is no definite signs of a housing bubble, and this is one of the reasons why they're doing this. But nonetheless, we are being proactive, he said, to help prevent negative trends from developing. Now, a housing bubble is where, you know, prices rise so quickly in houses and then it bursts. And that has happened in the past, and it's really part of the cycle. And lately, we've seen in large cities like Vancouver and Toronto, Calgary, you know, that sort of place, where the prices of housing last year dropped 25 to 30% on the houses in the crash, that this year they rose in Toronto 19%. But that is what always happens when these housing bubbles happen or when a recession comes along. There's a huge decrease in the price of housing, and then there is a leveling again afterwards as the economy improves. That's not a bubble, that natural rise back up to normal housing prices.
Okay. Kevin, I swear to you, we'll do your rate specials right after the next break.
I'm okay with that, Dave.
All right, good. I'll twist your arm during the break when news is coming up at 12:30. And we'll be back with more with Kevin Power and Ann Turner of Power Mortgages. Learn more online at powermortgages.ca. Ask the Experts returns in a few minutes here on 570 News. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Ask the Experts. I'm Dave Callender, and my guests, Kevin Power and Ann Turner of Power Mortgages, where knowledge and service make the difference. You'll find them online at powermortgages.ca and in the real world at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo. During the news, I think I was able to wrestle Kevin into offering up some good rates this week, so here they are.
Thank you, Dave, and you really got to take it easy on me. I'm getting older, and I got this problem shoulder, and I just can't take all this arm bending anymore, so I submit more easily these days. Five-year fixed-term mortgages with 120-day rate guarantee we are currently offering at 3.79%. We will also further decrease that interest rate down to 3.69% for quick close special rates closing within 30 days. And for the first three callers after the show, we will actually offer that 3.69 interest rate with 120-day rate guarantee. So anybody is out there looking for a pre-approval or you have a mortgage maturing, take advantage of the really great rates that we're offering today. We're offering 10-year mortgages at 5.30% and 5.20% with 30-day closing. And we offer the all and ever popular adjustable rate mortgage at prime less 0.30%. which on today's prime of our bank prime of 2.25% is 1.95%. So great rates, great companies. Give us a call.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, just to put these rates into perspective, a mortgage company sent us recently the rates for the last 25 years. And to just go back a bit, in 1990, February of 1990, fixed rates on 5-year money was 12.42%.
Ouch.
The variable rate back then was 14.25%. 10 years ago, the variable rate was 6.75%, and the 5-year money was at 8.43%. So this year, having at this time, compared to 10 years ago, 8.43, and we're offering 3.79, and 20 years ago, 12.42, it's a heck of a deal. If this doesn't tell people that this is an opportunity in the works, I don't know what will.
Well, I'll try and convince them as well, just like I do with Kevin. This is an amazing time if you're looking to buy a home, get into a first home. And if you'd like to take advantage of the rates that Kevin mentioned, do give him a call right after the show on his cell phone at 519-240-2967. That's 240-2967. And yet, there is this concern. It seems that there's a concern. There's a growing mountain of mortgage debt. But the question is, where is all of this debt coming from that they are concerned about?
Well, there's two places that this debt is coming from. And I am referring to a report recently commissioned by CAMP, which is the Canadian Association of Accredited Mortgage Professionals. And this was done in January this year. And where this mountain of debt is coming from is increasing house prices, for one place, and the profound shift of Canadian households into home ownership. So you now have, yes, a price increase in housing, of course, but also a huge number of people are now moving into homes as opposed to renting because of these nice interest rates that make it comparable to renting, make it more attractive to buy than to rent. So there's also some concern right now by lenders about variable rates and that people are qualifying on the variable rate. And in fact, people aren't qualifying on variable rates. They're qualifying on the 3-year posted rate, which is higher than the 5-year discounted rate that we're offering. And it's not new home buyers that are qualifying for variable mortgages. Very few first-time home buyers take variable mortgages. They tend to take fixed-rate mortgages. It's people that have owned their houses for a while and are looking for a way to rapidly decrease the principal amount by the lower variable-rate mortgages. And those are the ones, and even then, it's only 30% of mortgage takers that are doing that. So first of all, these people that do take variable rates mortgages are qualifying at mortgage rates that are higher than the 5-year rate, and they are paying generally the higher amount of monthly payment so that they can more quickly pay down their principal amount. So there shouldn't be any concern that our variable mortgages are the new subprime, which has been the attitude in Canada for a little bit.
In reality, the difference between qualifying at a 3-year rate versus qualifying at a 5-year rate is really about a difference of around a half a percentage point.
Mm-hmm.
So in the greater scheme of things, really what difference does that make in terms of qualifying people or not qualifying? And the underwriting guidelines are exactly it. They are guidelines. There are exceptions to every rule that's out there. And whether somebody qualifies and they're TDS or total debt service is 40% or 42%, if they have the credit history and a job to do it, a half a percentage point in the difference really isn't going to offset those numbers in any event anyway.
Now, on April 19th, new borrowers are going to have to meet standards for a 5-year fixed rate mortgage, even if they're seeking a shorter, more variable rate loan. So what I want to ask the government is, are they going to have to qualify on the posted rate or on the discounted rate? Now, posted rate is usually what the banks want to get from their clients, and it's their first stab at you. Today's newspaper tells us that 5-year posted money is at 5.39, which is considerably higher than our discounted rate.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make a huge difference to who qualifies and who doesn't qualify. If you have to qualify at 5.39 as compared to 3.79, that's a huge difference. But the government hasn't said to us, you must qualify them on the posted rate, when in fact, if they came to a mortgage broker, they would get the discounted rate of 3.79%. So he hasn't been clear on that, and I think it would be very unfair if they had to be qualified on a rate so substantially higher than the actual rate they're going to get and live with for the next 5 years.
We've got another phone caller now, so it's headphones time again, folks. Let's go over to the phones and take a question from Paul. Hi there, Paul. You're on 570 News.
Oh, thank you very much for taking my call. I was listening to the program, and I have a mortgage of 3 kids, and we have a nice house. I'm wondering about when my rate's 4.9, it's 5-year closed, and it comes due in about 15, 16 months, and I'm trying to figure out when is a good time to actually maybe even break the mortgage to get the lowest variable rate possible, because it is so low. I would save thousands, obviously, on principal, but the bank, you know, I have to pay the penalty of the lack of interest. So I'm trying to figure out when is a good time to make that shift, or is it, if I make the shift and all of a sudden the variables go up because, you know, the economy's coming back. I mean, I'm in a bit of a dicey spot, so I'm not sure, looking for a little bit of advice on what I need to do.
No problem, Paul.
Okay.
Of course, each case is totally different. Okay. But in the greater scheme of things, I think your thinking is in line in terms of whether you should be looking at fixed or variable, yes. Particularly if your mortgage is going to be maturing in the next 15 months, if you decide to ride it out. I think at that point in time that both fixed-term and variable-rate mortgages are going to increase anyway.
Yes.
The best time in terms of whether you should go fixed or variable is when interest rates are in a declining mode, and interest rates are not in a declining mode anymore. Right now they're either going to remain stagnant for the next little while with potential increases coming over the next 6 months or sometime after the next 6 months. So.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now doing fixed-term mortgages, particularly with the interest rates that are available out there today, is a much better strategy than trying to play the short-term market, because you really give up the opportunity to take advantage of today's interest rates. So you will probably, or not will probably, you will definitely not save any money over the next 15 months that you've got left because of the way the interest penalty is going to be calculated on your current mortgage. However, where you could really make up some serious ground is if interest rates are higher 12 to 15 months from now than they are today, you're really going to position yourself in taking advantage of today's rates for an additional 4 years, which may not be available 12 months from now.
Okay, so is there any leverage I have with my existing lender to, say, trying to renegotiate a little early or not?
Well, I guess, again, that'll come down to individual choices and how receptive your lender is to actually doing something for you. And I've never met a lender yet that will actually write off your interest penalty. They'll do a couple of things. They'll say, well, look, we'll renew you early. Your penalty, we won't charge an interest penalty, but we're going to give you an interest rate of 4.19. Aren't we absolutely fantastic? Granted, 4.19 is better than the deal that you've got today, but you are going to pay the interest penalty, whether you pay it out in one lump sum or if you continue to pay 40 or 50 basis points higher on your interest rate over the next 5 years, as opposed to paying it in one lump sum.
Yes.
So what I can suggest to you, Paul, is if you want to give me a call after the show or give me a call on Monday, I'd certainly be quite happy to sit down with you on an individual basis and give you some ideas, give you some strategies, and to really, I guess, help prepare you to sit down with your current financial institution and ask some really good questions so you can get some really good solid base numbers so you can actually make a really good informed decision about which product or which program is actually going to be in your best interest.
Well, that sounds very good. I think I will, because my mortgage is it's not high. I mean, it's up in the $200,000, but over the length of time, I mean, we're talking $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in interest payments that I can put in my pocket in 12 years, even if I amortize it earlier and take a less of amortization, pay a little bit more in my principal. I'm going to say when my mortgage is done, that money then goes into my pocket.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep. You're thinking in the right direction.
Okay. I will do that. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your call.
Thanks very much for calling up, Paul. We do appreciate it. If you've got questions for Kevin or Ann, you can give us a call at 519-570-2545, out of town, 1-800-570-5715, or *570, hands-free on your cell phone. Got an email question here now. In fact, it looks like it's a multi-part question. So why don't we take a break? I see that it's break time. When we come back, we'll do the credit rates again, the mortgage rates, and we'll go through this question and see if we can come up with an answer for Anil. So stick around. More of Ask the Experts with Kevin and Ann from Power Mortgages coming up in a few minutes here on 570 News. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Callender. Kevin Power and Ann Turner are my guests from Power Mortgages, 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo, online at powermortgages.ca. And once again, here's Kevin with today's show rate specials.
All right, Dave, the bank beater rate special today is 120-day closing, 3.79%, further reduced to 3.69% for 30-day closing. And for the first three callers after the show, we will offer the interest rate of 3.69% up to 120-day interest rate closing, 10-year fixed-term mortgage at 5.30%, and with a quick close special of 5.2%. and or a variable rate mortgage at prime less 0.30% or 1.95% based on today's bank prime of 2.25%.
And if you'd like to take advantage of those rates right after the show, give Kevin a call on his cell phone at 519-240-2967. That's 240-2967. Okay, we've got an email question now from Anil, who writes in, I own two homes, one of which is paid off and is my principal home, and a second I purchased as a rental property, which is paying for itself. We borrowed the 25% from our line of credit from our principal home to put down on the rental property and have the 75% at a mortgage rate, which is prime minus 0.75. All of our line of credits are secured. The rate is 3.25%. Is there any reason why I'd want to move the line of credits to a mortgage?
Okay, first, before Kevin answers this question, I want to tell you what a mortgage is. A mortgage isn't a loan. A mortgage is security offered against real property. Any kind of, and real property is real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So a mortgage is security offered against real property. A line of credit is security on real property offered against the loan. A line of credit that is secured by property is a mortgage.
So what you're saying is that Anil's
line... mortgage.
Anil's line of credit, which he borrowed the 25% to purchase the rental property, is actually, he already has a mortgage.
It is called something else.
It is called a line of credit. And I guess the true acid test of what power your financial institution has on a line of credit is mispayments. And see what will happen. So that's a consideration. But I guess to really answer the question, about whether or not the interest rate is the prime minus 75 is a great deal. Unfortunately, those interest rates are no longer available. Interest rates went from prime minus 75, 85, 90. We were even doing some discounting at prime minus 1% up until about a year and a half ago. They went from prime minus to prime plus 80. Interest rates have now trickled down somewhat, and the best rate that we've got is prime minus 30.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is a whole lot better than the line of credit interest rate, which is prime plus 1%. It's paying 3.25%. That's prime, which is 2.25% plus 1%. And that's the other thing that's really happened in the marketplace today as well, is that all of the financial institutions changed the pricing that they had in place on lines of credit. They were all being done at prime. And people started receiving notices that they were going to increase their interest rate instead of being prime even. They're now prime plus 1%. So that really plays into the control that a line of credit or a lender really has on a line of credit anyway, in terms of the ability to change your pricing. And if you don't like the new pricing that's there, it is a demand loan, and they get the opportunity to say, if you don't want to pay it, now you can give us back the $100,000 that you owe us.
Oh. Okay. So, in answer to Neil's question, is there any reason he'd want to move the line of credit to a mortgage, which is really, should I move this mortgage to a more traditional mortgage? What is the answer?
The answer is yes, and also from a point of economics, and in the short term, even at 3.25%, is not a huge difference from where we are with fixed-term interest rates today, but bank prime certainly will increase. Going back a year and a half ago, bank prime was at 6.25%. So with today's pricing, if we go back to where bank prime was a year and a half ago, he's now going to end up paying 7.25%. So the half point that you're saving today certainly will be very quickly offset by the concept that you could be paying 7% for your money 2 years from now.
And his second question is, why is the Bank of Canada rate so much lower than the lending institutions are lending to us? And are there any lending institutions out there which are prime minus? Because I like these. Well, don't we all? So the answer to those questions.
Well, prime minus 30, that is available, and we've got that available. You're certainly more than welcome to talk to us about that.
But the Bank of Canada lending rate is the overnight lending rate that bank, the Bank of Canada, is prepared to lend its money out to lending institutions at to help them keep their lending rates down. And prime is set from that rate. That rate, the Bank of Canada's lending rate, which determines what prime is going to be, the money and the amount of the money that banks get to borrow their money at, is used for variable rate mortgages because that rate fluctuates all the time. It can go up and down at the will of the Bank of Canada. The rates that are used to set fixed rate mortgages are the bond rates. This is where investors buy a bond of some kind, and that rate is guaranteed over a period of time, over 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and five-year bond rates are used to set five-year mortgage rates. So if the bond rates are going up, then fixed interest rates are going up. If they're going down, fixed interest rates are going down. If the Bank of Canada rate is going up, variable rates are going up. And if they're going down, variable rates are going down.
Okay, there we go. Well, thank you so much for your email, Anil. We've got Albert standing by, and it'll have to be a real quick question because we only have a few minutes left in the show, but I don't want to leave him sitting there. Albert, you're on 570 News. What's your question?
Hi, I've got a question about CMHC.
Okay.
Just general interest. When that the insurance that you're taking out, is that just covering the, say, the 25% of the mortgage that's so-called high risk, or is that covering the whole mortgage? And basically I'm asking is, are the banks basically getting off scot-free? If you default, does the whole mortgage go back on CMHC to be paid out, or at least a balance that they can't get from market value? Or, you know, what are we basically insuring when we're buying that insurance?
All right. That's a great question, Albert. And the best answer I can give to you on it is that with CMHC, if there's any losses whatsoever, so long as the mortgage company has underwritten it properly following their guidelines, any losses that occurs as a result of somebody failing to make the payments for any number of reasons, either loss of desire to make it or the ability to make the payments, CMHC will basically compensate the lender for any losses. Some of the other insurers out there, Genworth, they basically will cover 90% of any of the losses that a bank or any type of lender has, or any insured mortgage lender would have on the sale of a property. So basically it's the entire mortgage balance that is covered. If there's a total loss, basically the lender either gets compensated for the entire thing, or they get compensated for 90% of the loss.
Now, when people lose their homes under power of sales, there are huge costs to the lender, because usually it takes several months of missed payments, interest payments and principal payments that are lost. And then there are legal fees, and then there are real estate fees to get the place sold. There are fees to clean up and repair the house, because usually these houses are left in a mess. So I think, if I remember right, the average loss on a house was in the neighborhood of about $60,000 by the time all of this was done. Okay. Can be higher, can be lower, but generally speaking, every time a house is foreclosed on, CMHC is coming up with about $60,000 to the lender.
All right. Albert, thank you so much for your question today. We appreciate you calling in. And look, we're out of time again, but obviously from today's calls and our emails, people are a little bit up in arms over all of this, and they're just as concerned and incensed by what's going on as you folks are. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Well, I would like to say to the government, I'm an adult, and I can make good decisions for myself. I don't need to be treated like an American or like a child. I know how to manage my money, and I would like to be given that respect. Don't do preemptive stuff on behavior that is not being exhibited by the Canadian public.
And in closing with that, I would say that they should take a serious look at lenders' policies when it comes to consumer debt load as opposed to the mortgage debt load. At least with mortgages, somebody has something to show for it. I know people that have been in debt for $100,000 to $125,000 in consumer credit, and they have absolutely no idea where they spent it.
Maybe a bad pair of shoes, but...
Very expensive bad pair of shoes.
Exactly. Thanks for being on the show once again.
Thank you, Dave.
And if you still have questions for Kevin and Ann, get them answered. Call 519-886-1993, or you can even call Kevin right now on his cell phone at 519-240-2967. Thank you for listening. We hope you join us again next Saturday, 11 a.m., for more of Ask the Experts here on 570 News.